In terms because of the grand understanding of consciousness, this has been a long debate that we had with understanding what is actually consciousness of and what is not consciousness. So when we got information from grand, it was priority given to Bhakti prior to 1994. Any Bhakti system that was in place in 1994, and then it was Bhakti system supplied by the municipality. It was municipalities that serviced those buses. It was highly formalized, established settlement for informal townships. The thing that came out in our last major quarterly meeting was that informal areas are to be done later in the 2010 presentation. That was a debate we had. What is the market and what is the vulnerable reality? And we then came across here that the one to the left is actually a market, which was by municipality. And the one to the right is VIPs that were developed by owners, but some of them had put their own buckets in their system, which they had got from someone else. So we did not identify those as buckets that were given by the municipality. That was very simple for Grant had to tell us what is a bucket and what is not exactly a bucket. In terms of statistics, how changed it was 12,332 buckets. To date, we've completed 11,054 have been completed. Those 11,000 is either DIC or waterborne. Most of them, I think 80%, is waterborne systems. We have 278 left to be completed. The current expenditure for all that is a total cost of 35 million, which is come out of the open water sanitation program from the big contribution. We've only got to review 3.1 million of this to get rid of the buckets, which is our last one that's left in the city municipality. Our completion date, all our buckets will be finished in housing end of June 2007. It's still on target, the project is running, the last project, the only problem we just had that the area that was identified is rocky. So to put in the infrastructure now is delayed. We need an additional 5 to 7 million to finish the 1994 situation by end of June 2007. The Lesedi project has now incurred additional costs due to rocks that have been found. And also we've noticed there have now been additional buckets in that area. So we've added that in, which is not in the 12,333. It's about another 200 to 300, which would still be finished by the end of June. And we've just located, that has informed us by a day process in one of our other municipalities in the western area. A few families of about 40 of them who have buckets on the farm. So we're going to intervene on that farm and put the GIC forward. In terms of ownership GIC, this is where the distinction comes in between what was bucket supplied by the municipalities and where owners have built their own system, similar to that of a GIC, whether it be a wooden structure or a steel structure. There was 9,903 identified in the province. 4,633 are completed today. 2,730. We are going to reallocate the funds for those families to new areas to where the families will be housed. They will be moved from the current informal settlement, which is Boise belongs to in Kuleni and Zendela in Zendela. It's going to be moved to other areas due to the area not being suitable for housing. Then we have 1,523 units. That is left out of that 9,000. The reason why we cannot install that the existing infrastructure in that settlement are so close to each other that you cannot even get a wheelbarrow in between some of them. So it becomes difficult to even install toilets in those. So we have to put up communal toilets until people are relocated and buy a housing program, which will open up the place. The expenditure on those currently also is around 37.2 million. If you will look at, just to give you a brief on the VIP installation that we are doing in Caltech. That is a VIP, the base of a VIP toilet in excavator, because basically it's four or five beams that are put into the ground. Then we employ labor, local labor is employed, they have been trained, and these are in panels which are then on top of those beams. The top is then fitted on top of that structure. The toilet structure is then assembled on top of the tank, which in both directions, and the toilet there you see the back fitting which will fall into the tank at the bottom. And of course the ventilated pipe that is used for the tank. the structure looks like inside when it's finished. So in fact, what we have done is we've asked all infrastructure that where the AIPs are installed in Caltech, they must be adaptable so that they can be changed into waterborne sanitation, which is our next target that we'll come to when it's going along. So this is basically what the outside of the structure looks like when it is complete. This is a brick VIP which has been built in Caltech. The reason why I showed this one is that if you give people ownership of the toilet, they maintain it. If you don't give them ownership where you have sharing of toilet facilities, we found there's a big problem. Nobody takes care of it, then the tank is, the roof is gone, the door is gone, the tanks are gone, and the ceiling is gone. So this was the example which we have to encourage that each plot has one VIP as well. After the VICs and the buckets were done, we then conducted a research with our own funds to get to find out where the community exactly happy with what we had installed. And this came as a request from our MEC, the SOC, and the DC, said, guys, you need to go back to see whether we have done the correct thing. And out of that report, when we sent the report in, the agreement with the consultant was to find out the number of buckets that we should remove. We had this discussion with people with good things of a bucket. When we did the program, we said the buckets were gone. So when we went back, some of the buckets were still there. So when we did this research, we had to find out why is the bucket still there when we have replaced it with either VIP or waterborne. So this was the research. The research had to start up the number of buckets that were removed, the number of replacement toilets installed, if the installed system is still in place, improvement of the lifestyle of the community, is there improvement in the health of the community, community impression of the project, number of households to stand, number of informal toilets to stand, expenditure and value for money, which we thought we had got, and the jobs created for women leaders in the area. Now, the general problems that came out of this research document indicated it was inconvenient that there are many households in the stand sharing one of the items. What actually happened is the item was supposed to the owner of the stand was the VIP, but the owner, what we call, was doing his own informal hotel industry on his plot, where he's got more than one unit. So he's got three or four or five other units. And what he does is he keeps the VIP for himself, and then he needs other people, other means of using the facility. So this is one of his rented business for the facility for Sami Park, and a nice business decision. If in the farming plot where the VIP is installed, we find that the person has to walk 60 meters at night from his house to get his VIP. And we said that was not convenient. And some, we should have acted then and said the VIP should have been put up closer to the house. In most cases, the wet VIPs, they were waterborne sanitation. Because of the distance to get the toilet and the sanitation to the house, it became very expensive. So they put it at the closest point of link up. The owner of the stand assumes ownership of the toilet and refuses to share with the neighboring stands, although initially accepted to do so. Initially, when VIPs were done, like in Beckenthal, we had two to three families sharing a VIP until we came around with the second round and then everybody started taking part. The first was that didn't work well. Non-sharing of the facilities due to ethnic and religious differences between shared neighbors. We had ethnic differences between neighbors in certain areas where one cultural group will not share the toilet with the other cultural group, and that creates a problem. Inefficient maintenance from the municipality as we have to remain full for long periods of time. Orientation of some toilets to stand with the door of the toilet place to the seat or kitchen up with another household, and they want to be turned around. So every time you go around to these toilets, they're facing different directions. They face one neighbor's house for 1 week, and then another guy turns around and face the other neighbor's house for a week. Then there was the issue of putting the thing these slides, which has been reduced by the installation of new slides. The report then came out with also what were the successes of the project that was implemented. There was social acceptance of the system by the community. There was integrated communication strategies, because all the community stakeholders have come together. There was improved health and hygiene of the community, improvement in the lifestyle of the community. It uplifted the dignity of the community for providing acceptable and humane sanitation service. Job creation and skills transfer to the local community. It averted environmental disasters. And I think most of you know that in Caltech, we are sitting on dolomitic land. It is not dolomitic land. We are sitting on our water resources. That is very crucial for the province. And then we have all community households benefited from the project. The new challenges that we see, it added take all buckets that exist in the area. The situation has come up where we said that owners are now actually renting out informal settlements on their blocks to rent them. And as you know, that migration to housing is great, so the business of actually renting housing and property is increasing. And this has created another problem for us, because by the time we get to 210, people are going to have flats in the backyard, and which we already see people already starting to develop double stories in the backyard due to migration to housing. Then an effective maintenance plan actually is required for the municipality to provide efficient cleaning services. With the installation of the DIPs we put in, we see that they actually closed. We assume that the state that it will take 3 years to be closed. It's now putting up in less than 2 years, and we have to put in a program in place not to enter the DIPs. Then, intensified training of local labor and contractors to extend to a project administrator and manage within the community, thus creating economic advancement. More intensified communication is required for municipalities to perform the community responsibility and ownership of the new sanitation system for community engagement. In that bullet work, we found that some of them have not been used correctly. People are dumping their waste, their food, their use. Some cases we found that the dead dogs are because of the actions in different places. So that is creating a problem also. So we have to go back on the communication side. The next bullet for the municipal to iron out problems affecting efficient maintenance and service for the new sanitation system to speed up the process of relocating people in housing. The other challenges which we have, the biggest issue in housing is currently due to technical conditions and government conditions. I don't think any of the other problems will suffer that much. But a lot of housing, the land, the what you call the government conditions, where those of you who are engineers are not quite well, but we've actually got very big tunnels underground which were formed by water and have been eroded, and these things collapse without notice. And I've put in some examples if you want to follow. Then the next challenge is suitable land for development. Our land resource has been reduced a lot, so instead of going flat, we're going to have to go up. We're going to create a problem in putting up townhouses and duplexes and things like that. And then there was community dissatisfaction with some of the that have been installed with some of the projects, but the problems are inadequate water, unit cost for bulk services, project registration, long procurement, implementation time, as well. This is basically to give you an idea of what Dolomite is doing in Johannesburg. This is a sinkhole that has formed under a house at the one corner. These holes can vary anything from 6 meters in diameter up to 200 meters in diameter, and disappear 70 meters into the ground. Or, in the last case we had, 70 stories into the ground. This one is in Dalton. This is for Western area. This is the one in Tutorial, Swanee Dam. This hole was created by leaking pipe on Dolomitic land. It's in a loop area. That hole went down 7 meters. Took most of the house. It's fortunate that the house didn't crack at the station. The cost of Victoria City Council around 150,000 to close that hole up. Because you've got to find the bottleneck and shut it up, put in a plaster there and then put it up again. This is one of the informal settlements. It was an informal settlement, now formalized settlements again, where people refused to move, then developed in Dolomitic land. This excavation you can see is, this collapse has been quite deep and quite deep. This is in Meriform. Right? You can see the guy that walked out of his door, his front door, he'd have fallen straight out into the big hole in the morning. If you fall in some of these holes where the throat is still open, you are considered deceased. There's no way to go through your house. This is a house in Swanee also. Dolomitic conditions, the fact that one needs to prove the life of the MCIC, not to construct houses in this area. This happened overnight, this was in 2000. All these pictures we have here, sorry, the last two pictures was from 2005, 2006. This one was in 2006. We visited the house at about 1 o'clock in the morning when I used to work for NHPRC. We were following, of course, had a look at the house for that. At night, while the people were sleeping. So this is the situation we have in South Africa. Most of our land is sitting on those like this. This is a sinkhole close to Bronkhorst Place. The sinkhole is 200 meters in diameter, 17 stories deep. up to today, you cannot see the bottom of that bowl. That's why this is an aerial photography of that. And the big communities living there in that area could have probably put up about 20 houses, 30 houses. They would have also put there. And that is why we are very, very careful with housing structures and housing, especially low cost housing. You find a lot of the informal settlements are currently on government land. To convince people to move out of their living town. Because they say, my forefathers have been living here for 10 years, my family has been born here, which is quite true. Some of them have been here for a long time, but the land was never investigated until we started in proper investigation camp. 30 kilometers square investigation, lowering it down to every 500 meters square. We're finding that land like this is dangerous. 2 weeks after this one occurred on the opposite side, another one occurred, which was smaller than this, about 150 meters in diameter, but that one went down, I think, for about 50 meters. This one is 17 stories, so it's about 35 or 40 meters. The bottom of that hole you still cannot find. It's not walking, it's just a basic hole. So we don't know what the size of the sun under the hole is. Okay, in terms of water, my next slide will be for water. What does Kaohsiung mean for water? Kaohsiung is actually lucky in that he is surrounded by three rivers, which is the Vaal River in the south, Olifant River in the north, the Crocodile River in the northwest. Kaohsiung then imported water from out of the province, which is high water demand from 9 million people. I showed you the new stats, they've gone up to 10 million people for industry, agriculture, and mining. We are busy currently with the water demand management. This is done by Rand Water Forum. What you'll notice is that the purple line will give us what the water demand that we're going to need by 2024 2025, which is basically telling graph before they start building another dam for getting outside the water. The white, which you cannot see here, the yellow and the blue, is currently the new position housing. But that is including the losses. So we are saying if we curb our water losses, find out where all our pipes are leaking in Kaohsiung, go to Jika, we may not need basic infrastructure for Kaohsiung. When we had this statistic, today we did it with that, and it was the Kaohsiung Water Summit which was held last year, on the 13th and 14th of October, and we said we need to do something about the problem for water in Kaohsiung and the issues surrounding that. So I'm not going to go too deep into the slide, but out of that, what came was a proposed vision by ourselves, Grant, and all the stakeholders that by our collective methods in the water sector, we will ensure that all citizens of Kaohsiung have access to basic water services, our industry is sufficiently provided, our rivers are properly managed, our environment is well protected for the benefit of all citizens of Kaohsiung. Now, from that vision and mission, has come a strategy. One of them is to promote effective and efficient institutions in water sector in Kaohsiung. The second step is to promote effective water resource management, which has come through drought and rainwater. To promote effective and efficient water services delivery. To encourage efficient management and allocation of water for agricultural demand. To advocate integrated planning in the water sector. To encourage effective pollution control, which we've seen a lot now for our river districts. The backlog in Kaohsiung, just to give you an idea, in terms of the sanitation backlog, the total, I'm just going to look at the total, 706,000 sanitation households, seasonal total households that are not people. The existing backlog for water is 630,000, existing backlog for electricity, 850,000, what we say existing backlog for roads is only 1,318. The road one is what we have is uncarred road in Kaohsiung, which means one we have carved or paved by 2009, which is a target set by the union. Solid waste backlog, when you say 23, that is talking about waste downtime that we have to deal with Kaohsiung. We've done a calculation of the waste that's been generated by the population, so we need additional downtime. The eradication so far to date is not listed by the MEAT program. Not as such by the capital projects that are implemented by the municipality. We are having problems getting technical information from the municipality, but in terms of the MEAT project, we have very, very good records because it's a very good database set up by ourselves and the municipality, so we can get statistical information on the ground. Today, in the mix, with the sanitation, we've eradicated 160,000 or 161,000. The water backlog, 228,000 households have now got water. Electricity backlog, 6,593. That one can move faster, we believe. The road backlog is 172. Now, what we've noticed, some of the roads that we've done very little. On the 1,380 roads that we have seen was on the backlog. Most of those are roads into farming properties that belong to farmers. Now, we are not going to go tar roads for farmers so that families on the farm have access and use very little. And that is one of the expenses we will have to discuss later with the energy community about that. Solid waste today, we have 11 new solid waste landfill sites. The one that I have not included here for Malten is the housing shortage. The housing shortage currently stands at 500,000. That is the latest standard. In terms of what we've done in the mix, you will notice our expenditure, just until March of 07, our budget for MIG was 899 million. The MIG is divided into various components, the B, E, N, and M components. The B component here refers mainly to water sanitation, roads, and stormwater, street lights, and solid waste. The E component is taxis, things like that, and the N component is schools and cleaning. But just talking on the water, I think the question here is to, somebody asked the question yesterday, how much of our money goes into water sanitation? Now, this is only on the MIG program. What we've done is, in counting it, if any municipality that we have promised or has a backlog, I refuse to approve projects then for other things. Because we need to eradicate the water sanitation backlog first. The target doesn't say for 2-3-4 days. So when the MIG program comes forward and says, this is a program we want to build a 40 million savings, the settlement will say, sorry, you can put 40 million in water. We will need to come into the savings, but we're not going to be wrong. We may be 5-8 need to call on the savings. To get them ready. But the key is water. Today we spent 194 out of our becoming 89 million, and sanitation 87 million, and the road you can see 271. Some water there is 19, lighting 34, solid waste about 8.4 million. But if you look at the total, from the time the MIG program started, we've spent already close to 1/3 of the water. That's part of the infrastructure. And then infrastructure through the local municipality. The challenges we face in Gauteng is the IDC alignment. We said on the last IDC meeting with Russell, also present, all the other promises were present. Well, we find that the IDCs of the municipality, although it involves the community, the IDCs were supposed to be integrated. It is not coming up here. My second clue is that integration is actually happening in front of the department. The integration with water sanitation is not happening. Integration with houses. Integration in schools, for the integration of education department, all those interlinks are a problem. Then the project management unit structure and placement. With this we found that this is a big issue, and I'm sure it's with other provinces. If you put a project management unit, especially the big project management unit, if you put it under the electrical engineer or their department, you find that all the electrical projects become big projects. If you put it under a sanitation engineer, you find that all the sanitation projects become big projects, and as a result, electricity is left out, roads get left out. So very crucial what we've done in Housing, we said that the project management unit must report directly to the municipal manager, and not report to any other department where they get blockage all the time. Then there was a lack of specification. First the unit wanted specification to implement projects, the other department got technical and said, you're the project manager, you will send the specification. And then resolve those issues between the engineers who are in maintenance and operations to give information to the project management team. Procurement delays, we're seeing in terms of the MSMA, there were procurement delays. Everybody complained it was the MSMA. But as promised, very hard to municipalities. Give us one clause in the MSMA that has delayed the process. We couldn't make one. So to me, it was the lack of the rollout of the MA from National Affairs to the MSMA. And we started doing that ourselves. I have read the documents, we've read it with other members of the staff, and we started doing presentations on our own on the MSM and what the documents. So we've resolved some of those issues. Procurement delays, yes, we are seeing critical issues in procurement delays. People don't understand the process. You have people who are not technically trying to improve the project, which are technical. I'm currently busy with that, and the municipality is assisting them. and the capital planning for projects, national and municipal financial years, is also 12 to 3 months different. We're involving those now. Council approval projects are waiting to council, which has delayed some of the approval in smaller municipalities. The bigger metros, the projects don't necessarily get up to council. They follow the delegated lower down, so they have to much quicker to implement. And the last one is statistical information and GIS. The geographical information system, which is lacking in municipalities, that is a challenge. On the GIS, we've spoken of the DSA to fund some of the programs that require that negotiation is still going on. Development, so what have we done at Housing in the last couple of months? We have now implemented a budget for reduction in water losses. This is an agreement between RAP, Randwater, and GLG. There's currently a budget we are all putting funds in this, and I think RAP, they're putting 2 million, Randwater is putting 1 million, from the project and putting 5 million, and we're actually monitoring the losses currently in 5 municipalities. The one that we save money in implementing with RAP, that project has been completed. There's a water loss saving of 2 million rand a month in Pulerin, which has now given the municipality an injection of 24 million in additional funds to reallocate for other uses. Then there's water conservation and demand management for 5 local municipalities that agreed to the first one. Water sanitation strategy for Caltech, which is an internal document which you agreed. We as Caltech province are on the way to saying we are too busy in drought stage that by 2010 we would like to see everybody having waterborne sanitation. The DIP will be our next target to be converted to waterborne sanitation. So we don't want to see any buckets, hopefully by the end of 2007, and we don't want to see any DIPs related to 2010. Those should all be waterborne. The decentralization of wastewater treatment plants, this is an agreement we've got with Rich University. We are looking at each and every municipality where we can decentralize the wastewater treatment plant. As you know, most of the sewer treatment comes to a point where it's treated. Certain areas on the other side of the mountain don't have anything, they have DRC. So we are saying we'd like to go up and include some kind of sewer treatment facility and give the people water control. Then there's the project that we are running currently in City Bay. We are working with Graph GLG, the many local municipalities with 500 million rand of water, wastewater treatment plants that we are going to construct. If this project doesn't take place, we can lose all the tourism that we have in Insulation with Bob City Bay area. So we have direct tour facilities to the bottom of the system. Then there's the SICAC supporting municipalities. The one is the South African Institute of Civil Engineering, the other one is the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. Under support, under project consolidation, the problem that I've now put in 25 engineers in our municipality, or I think it's 14 graduate engineers, and it's about 14 training technicians. These are all paid for by the province to assist the municipality to fill in where there is the capacity gap within the municipality and assist in terms of master planning and project management. Then there's municipal infrastructure investment strategy, which we are also busy with now, the sort of infrastructure for Caltech. The documents we're busy with quality control documents. We are drafting now the minimum quality control that needs to be done by all municipalities on each and every project that's been done. What we found that projects where municipality lacks capacity, or you find that inferior materials are being used, inferior products are being delivered, and as a result, we have to refund those projects again. Then I think the last one is the use of CDW to gather information. Well, we know that Caltech currently has 422 community development workers on the ground. By the end of, I think it's June, we would have 500 and I think it's 42 on the ground, which gives us first-hand experience or information on any municipality or any ward in fact, that we want. So we can talk to CDW and say, what is exactly going on in your area in terms of buses, and get a reply back from all 523 of them, when you are for 42 of them, and just a couple of buses from the phone call from the office. So it's all simple release. You can send out one question to all of them, and get all the answers back in an hour. So this is actually assisted us a lot in terms of where we still have buses, where there are good problems in the ward itself. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry that was a little long, Manager.
talking, and the honorable members, we will be talking about this again on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The energy from Northern States are throwing the door and running away, they may be like a vaccine. Thank you very much. I thought that we should follow that up with Limpopo. Where is Limpopo? Come, anyone from the Western States? Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, members here, and my colleagues. I'm Michelle Tienzi from the Limpopo Department of Local Government and Housing on behalf of our MEC, Lema Itengwa and Mashara. I'll be making a presentation to intend for the payment of water services as well as sanitation in the province. But more importantly, we're going to focus on the water service authority in terms of the challenges, as well as the interventions that were put forth in the province. The presentation will cover the background, the targets, the backlog seen in the province that is per district, three basic services, because that is one of the key challenges that we also have to implement. We also have challenges faced by the water service authority, also in relation to the water service provider. We look also into the detail of the scenarios of challenges, as well as the service interventions that we put forth. I want to dwell much in terms of the constitutional or the legislation framework in terms of water services.
Mm-hmm.
However, I must indicate that within the province, the main challenge is that most of the funding is through the MIB, that is education for funding of schools and as well as in clinics and sanitation. The sanitation in the province is implemented through the water service authorities, as I indicated, the NGOs, as well as our housing program. So it means as much as we're building houses through the department as an implementing agent for the program, we also provide a sanitation in that regard. Then in terms of personal arrangements, we have what we call a Qualicom. Qualicom is a collaboration, kind of a committee, whereby various sectors that play the critical role on sanitation and water need monthly to look into issues of sanitation as well as water, or water issues. To us as part of that committee, our province, that is DLGH, is also part of that committee. I think by now we all know the national targets that we are driving towards. Those are the targets as well as the province that we're trying to look into. In our province, the main concern, as I mentioned there, remains school sanitation, that is not meeting the necessary targets, as well as eradication of school sanitation backlog by 2005. Those are the targets that we are actually concerned about. But if you look into the water backlog per household, that these statistics is for 2006-2007, you can see that we still have challenges, mainly in the district. That is in terms of the household that is concerned, as well as the Kukune district. And I think the case that the Kukune is one of our biggest districts, which also receives the highest MIB funding. But still, in terms of the number of households, we still have the highest number in terms of the challenges, that is in terms of water development. Then moving forward to sanitation as well, we try to bold the area. If you look at Bembe district, which is also quite big, we have only 47% in terms of the household staff. We have Mopani as well, which is quite a challenge. We have Capricorn district. We also have the Kukuni. But in overall, it means that the province, we have a serious challenge in terms of meeting the basic services level of sanitation, because we're sitting at 40%. So if you look into the provincial context, in terms of water provisioning, we are doing much better compared to the area of sanitation. Coming to three basic water services, in terms of the water service authorities, as I've indicated there, from Bulukwane, which is our city, to Tarabini, which is among the rural water service authorities within Waterbeck district. The challenge still remains areas of Mopani and Kukuni. So you can see that when you look into households for water services, for sanitation, as well as free basic water, as Kukuni and Rembe seem to be appearing more often in all the plants, meaning that these are the areas that you need to focus on. But in any way, there are areas where we are doing well. If you look at Tarabini, we only have a problem of a sewer treatment plant that size in Tarabini, which is 100% in terms of free basic water services. And then if you look at Vidalina, being in the water service authority, we do not have any challenges in those areas. But basically, there are some few challenges that are faced by water service authorities in the province. Among others, it's lack of relevant qualification and experience in terms of our technical services, as well as project management units, that remains a challenge. And being a rural province, it's not that much easy, you know, to retain qualified people within the province. So then we have a serious problem with high staff turnover. Not necessarily on technical, only if you look into town planning as well as financial expertise, those are the areas where we actually experiencing problems. Functional organizational structures, if you look into the latest information on the assessment of the IDP, that remains a challenge in the province. If the organizational structure of the municipality is not intact, therefore the results actually are mirrored with the functionality of that particular municipality. And then also impact on the credible strategic and operational plans, which remains a challenge. Again, it's the technical capacity for project management, which also relates to the competency of people that are being appointed in most of the posts, especially on technical expertise that is required. Poor infrastructure as well is one of the challenges. If you have a construction that is of low quality, usually it also reduces the lifespan of that particular infrastructure. This is what we are experiencing in the problem. But amongst others, this is more related to the incompetent service providers that you really found in most of the municipalities implementing this project. That's the main challenge. And as well as lack of or insufficient project management by water service authorities, and also their relationship with the water service providers in some instances. That becomes the problem. In some cases, we find that there is no formal agreement between the authority and the provider. Therefore, it's not easy to manage that kind of a system. And the last one is that municipalities do not have quality management system. It's more on project implementation, but quality management system is actually not yet prioritized. Another challenge that we're experiencing is on insufficient funding. Insufficient funding in such that as a province there is over reliance on grants, which is the MIG in this regard. For the current financial year, that is 2007-08, we're going to receive at 921.6 million for the provision of basic infrastructure in the province. But as my colleague indicated, if you look into the three components from Southern, for instance, in our case, we have the water services, that is 72% of the 75 needs to go into water services, which translates into 477 million out of 191 to be used for water and sanitation. So that is much of the budget, although if you look into the challenges, it should have been actually highly prioritized by municipalities. In terms of the backlog on sanitation at the province, it's now 816,758,000 households. That is the backlog of sanitation, which will cost roughly 3.3 billion to eradicate the sanitation backlog up to the basic level of services. But I'm asking you to say that as a province, we do not have a budget system, although we still have septic tanks. We do have septic tanks in the areas of Greater Nitara, and mostly in areas of Greater Marble Hall. Those are the areas where we are setting tents. But with the previous meeting that we've been making with the previous, it has been agreed that we have also to prioritize the septic tents so that we can be able to eradicate them as well. So this is actually similar to what I've been indicating, that we more rely on MIG funding, which actually in the formula it means we're not doing well in terms of allocation for sanitation. But again, if you look into technology, as a province, we held a sanitation symposium whereby we're trying to look into the best scenarios and the technologies that we can be able to apply in the province to address sanitation. Because if you look into the budget of 3.3 billion, it may not be possible to raise that kind of funding. However, if you look into other areas of technologies, we can be able to deal with that. And I must indicate that we are looking into the Indian model. There is a Sulap model whereby the dry sanitation is one of the areas that we want to focus on. So those are the areas that we're going to look into so that we would address the issues of sanitation in the province, which in a way will be creating more jobs in the province, but also at a lower cost. So those are the technologies that we're going to look into as a province. But more importantly is that only appropriate sanitation technology is the sustainability and the long-term usage of that particular model that are going to use, and also improve on the issues of health and hygiene, which will also lead into the environmental protection. Because if you look into the system that you're using, it's actually not more environmentally friendly. So these are the methods or the models that we want to able to employ so that we can be able to address issues of environment, health and hygiene. There are so many issues in terms of structural arrangement or coordination. Amongst others, sanitation involves multi-structural approach, meaning all the structural departments and other role players should be actively involved, which provides or is a challenge in the province. But I must say that this draft, are we getting all the necessary support to be able to move together in assisting the municipalities. Also, the non-reliability of information in terms of planning, for instance, specific to population information, service affordability, and all the that becomes a problem because information is actually not that much sufficient. So it poses a challenge for us to plan in the best way of addressing the infrastructural challenges. Another area that we're looking at is the municipal priorities. Currently, we only have one district and two municipalities out of state which have the investment infrastructure framework, meaning that these are the three municipalities out of state which are able to quantify and be able to show a roadmap in terms of addressing infrastructure. But as a province as well, we have identified growth points. These growth points are actually particularly the former white towns which are going to prioritize, Makado being one of them, Greater Dlamini, Letaba and the others. Those are the areas where we're going to ensure that they have infrastructure investment framework. Of late, we also have a challenge with the Lephalale due to the massive investment that are taking place in the area. So there is a need for infrastructure investment framework as well as Greater Dlamini with the opening of mines in that area. So those are the areas where if we have a credible infrastructure framework, we can be able to assist them. At the end of the day, inconsistencies in IDPs and budget plans that remain the challenge in most of the municipalities. So it becomes difficult for them to be able to pay more attention on water and sanitation issues. But I won't go much in terms of the other data initiatives. Okay. In terms of the scenarios of sanitation in terms of infrastructure, as I've indicated, in terms of on-site challenges, we have done some site visits for some approaches in the province. For instance, as I said, septic tanks in Mojasis Group, that is in Greater Letaba, also in Minyeni, that is in Greater Dlamini, Binga in Tholamela, which is the district. The other system west, which is Mopane district, Modimu, the sewer system, and Tahame, which is now at a waterbed district. So these are the areas where we actually have serious challenges. If you look at waterbed, it's actually the sewer treatment systems or plants that are giving us a problem. But if you look into Mujer district and the others, it's actually the septic tanks that are becoming a problem. But in terms of partnership, what we have done is Mopane district together with the local municipality, as well as the department will put funding aside to be able to prioritize this particular area. So by the end of the year, the project will have been completed. As I said, the sewer ponds can no longer cope with the incoming volume due to population growth, which was never planned for. Amongst others, the areas of the Palali Karazini, these are the areas that are actually receiving highest attention in terms of the sewer ponds. As it was presented from Kaunting, we also have the same problem whereby, especially in rural areas, the different types of sanitation structures. Most of them are constructed by owners themselves, but these do not meet the standard. So if you want to improve on that, you actually have to put more resources to look into that. And also the issues of the treatment works. Which were done time immemorial, so it becomes very much difficult in terms of the quality of that structure. It's not, those structures are not coping anymore. So these are actually taking place in most of the growth points, that is our former urban, actually our current urban areas, or semi-urban areas like Makado and Bulugan. So we need to pay attention to this particular area because the kind of growth that they're experiencing was actually not planned for. So in terms of strategic intervention, I've already touched on some of them, but as a province, what we've done was deploy technical personnel in municipalities. Thus far, we have deployed close to 12 experts, technical experts, through the Sienna Mange program with CDSA to assist various municipalities, but critically in the areas of Tukune district, where we're actually having very serious problems. Those are the areas where we have deployed. But as well, what we have done as a province institutionally was looking into the status of the organogram to be invested with that are going to be able to support the infrastructure development in various municipalities. As well as sectoral support from other departments, that is through the IDP planning processes where we assist the IDP plan project implementation, asset management, budget operations and maintenance. So those are the areas that we have identified as critical in terms of intervention. Again, we have realized that it is actually the entire value chain of a municipality that impacts on the performance infrastructure. If you focus on technical aspects only, you find that if the finance section is not adequate or the municipal manager has not been appointed, it actually affects the whole chain of infrastructure services. So we also encourage them to improve on their performance management system that therefore improves on infrastructure development. And then also focus on trying to encourage those of that are doing well, that is increasing funding levels for those that are actually doing well as water service authorities. And you remember that when there was an issue of MIG, poor expenditure nationwide, there were other municipalities that have been identified where there was a proposal of the budget act on MIG. But in the province, we had those where they would have been identified for the budget act, but we had those that have been identified for an incremental window, especially in the areas of water services, because all the local municipalities are water service authorities. So those actually have an increased budget, and actually are doing well. As much as looking into the adoption of the sanitation technologies that informed by research and stakeholder participation. So these actually have emanated from our sanitation symposium, provincial sanitation symposium, that took place in January, whereby we identified various areas where we can be able to work together and identify new technologies. But more importantly is the issue of infrastructure investment plan. And as I said, that we have prioritized various municipalities to be assisted in this area. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Ms.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, honorable members. My name is Gino Barbisa, I'm the municipal manager at the Crystal and Crystal Municipality. As I have said, honorable members, I apologize that we were not here yesterday, but we must say that we were not informed, but we know that we deal with the officials. We do a brief presentation, specifically focusing on the level. The outline of the presentation, just a brief background in terms of Crisani and where Crisani is in the country and in the province. And then we'll talk about the level of figures as we have them now, and the budget department, and just briefly on current projects and completed projects in terms of grant application and the funding that we think we require to eradicate buckets by the end of the year, and some challenges that we are having. This map shows briefly where Crisani is. If you look at the bottom map, on the left, that is the map of the country, that's Eastern Cape. And the bottom right map, it shows Crisani with the six districts in fact, and the metro in the Eastern Cape. And then on top there, those are the 18 municipalities that constitute Crisani. Also in terms of population, You know, I was noticing Madam said that Chaldea is actually smaller than our district in terms of square kilometers. Our population is about 810,000, and we consider about 12.4% of the provincial population. And at the time, said that the specific infrastructure in the same case after our Tambo and the Matoro specific infrastructure. Our district is mostly rural and is dominated by youth. I think this is the important slide for the committee. These are our federal figures. As you see, the total for water, we need about 520 million. And for sanitation, we need about 389 million. And the total is close to a billion. But those figures, Madam Chair, they don't include public eradication. In terms of the budget, to meet the water target for the coming financial year and 2008-09, we need about 260 million. And for sanitation, to meet the 2010 target, we need about 97 million annually. And you've noticed that for the next financial year, we needed about 357 million. But in terms of the division of revenue, the bill figures that we got so far, those are the figures in red for the three financial years. So we've got quite a huge shortfall. Now looking at the budget allocation project, in total we had about 6,976 buckets, and already we have eradicated about 1,120, that is in the current year. Now, we still have about 5,866, of which those are completed by 11 projects in our district. Three of those have been completed, five are under construction, and three are at the planning stage. Now just showing where the public eradication projects are in those towns that are in red, showing those projects that are being implemented, and those in green show those projects that are still at the planning stage. Now in terms of funding requirements for public eradication, we required about 150 million and the funds that are already available are about 77 million, of which 45 million comes from me, and we received about 12 million from the department, the provincial department of housing, local government and traditional affairs. Out of our own equitable share, we set aside 10 million. And we also made a loan, Madam Chair, with CBSA for another 10 million. But so far, we still require about 73 million to eradicate buckets. Now moving to challenges, as I've already said that we need more funding, both for time sanitation and bucket eradication. And I also want to emphasize the fact that the figures that have been shown, they don't include dilapidated infrastructure, especially in the old town where infrastructure is collapsing. We also have the challenge of bulk population, especially in the current town, areas of Midberg, areas of Hofmeyr. But we know that have done a study in those areas so they know exactly what is needed, and we are waiting with a huge hope that the bulk infrastructure funding that has been allocated to DWAF, some of it will be coming to Kutra. We also have the challenge to balance in terms of funding allocation
between the basic infrastructure that is working towards achieving the target and also having local economic development projects that can create sustainable employment. The other challenge is the high cost per capita due to our area in terms of villages being scattered all over. We argue a lot with the Department of Water Affairs with this, you know, where they are saying, no, these costs are very high. In certain instances, we have to actually take them to the village so that they can see themselves. The other challenge is the sustainability of VIPs, as we know that, especially in the rural areas, we have been continuing to put VIPs, but we are really investigating now at other modes of sanitation that are sustainable, because we fear that in future, when those VIPs are full, we'll be in trouble. The other challenge, especially in those areas that we bring the, especially in the Dodgers in the area, communities, they just want water bottles, not anything else. When you talk about another mode, they say, no, better leave this bucket. And when you are ready, with funding, come and put water bottles. The other challenge we foresee is that we've just been informed through me that the 73 million that we said we need forms part of our allocation. We still need to verify this because it's not yet official. And we're saying that if it's been sent for propaganda ratification out of our own allocation, because in the bill, it was shown as extra funding on top of the 207 million. Now recently we have been told that it's part of the 207 and we've got, projects that, that are under construction and where we have committed ourselves. The other challenge is the non-performing service providers. We've got two of our projects where we had to cancel contracts because of non-performance, especially on bacteria eradication projects. But we have used, you know, the project management group to continue those projects so that we can make sure that they are completed before the end of the year. The other challenge is the introduction of the JGBS. If you look at the Eastern Cape, you find very few contractors that are rated around grade 5, grade 6. So you find most of our contractors, they are lower down. As a result now, you find that there are very few contractors when you put out tender. The issue of the retention of skilled personnel is also a big challenge for us. Last month, we have just two of our key officials, our PMU manager and our supply chain manager, resigned, you know, to go to bigger municipalities that can be better. Lastly, Madam Chair, the implementation of the supply chain management regulation. We have quite a challenge there because the supply chain management unit is relatively new. And as you know, the regulations, they require us to have specification committee, evaluation committee, and the bid adjudication committee. So for the current of capacity in that area. Madam Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to do this presentation.
Thank you very much again to yourself for honourable members, I think we should make efforts with the tea and the water and whatever is outside, and then if we can return back in the next 15 minutes. Thank you. Okay. We would like to start.
Thank you, Keiko sir. Keiko sir, this is one question I need to have here at the moment. I was just wondering how many was the master is very good presentation. I just wondered how many consultants are being used in housing department in relation to planning for water position and sanitation. And I want to give you the data to be very best at budget.
The issue of the ownership of tenants. And that's one of the things that makes the difference. It doesn't have the money to maintain that tenant. What happens? Just some minus on both sides. I thought that is one of the top of budget eradication will end up with a statistic or a statement that tells us how we are meeting the target of 2007. So I just wanted both and the president just to tell us if they think they will make it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Person. I just remembered the one I was going to ask in Popo. When one looks at the presentation, it appears to me as if we still have a problem in Popo. However, it was reported that in Popo has the first problem, I think, for Sarabas, that hasn't got any money, that there is the result there is done. So that's not what I think it's in Popo. Okay. That was the wrong problem. So the geographic problem. So I've been to say me I'm just far off. I'm sorry. It wasn't very clear to me as to how, for instance, how can was very clear on, for instance, which areas suffered in terms of the identification that they agreed on with what they did in first and how they're going to deal with the next phase, etc. I think it's quite to get us very clearly with the focus.
The question that I want to ask you to everyone is, well, of course, well, the Popo says they don't have a budget, and the other question is the member of how can you you have some budgets that they need to be eradicated. I think the question is, how can maybe I didn't speak of the program of eradication. Next month, what we hope to achieve, the month after, what we hope to achieve. But I didn't listen to both houses and the Popo. What came to my mind is, whilst we concentrate on the bucket eradication, when we talk about the other forms of sanitation, we then become worried. What happened in that regard? Because we worried that whilst we say these are the other forms of sanitation. In the photo when we were there, the one thing we picked up very clearly was the fact that your VIPs are now starting to back up a different word, trouble. Now, what does that mean? Where you have the other form of sanitation, what does that mean? Does it mean that you have an operation and maintenance program in place? How can you say that they would want to have waterborne by a particular place? Do you have the water resources for that? And then in the Popo, the same thing. Because I think it's taken it in that it's as we celebrate the eradication of the bucket system in December, the 1st of January, you just see everywhere there are other problems with other types of sanitation that are there that are now not, according to the community, worthwhile to have. So I think it would help if you tell us these other forms. I thought Honorable Arnson was going to raise the issue that he raised with the Deputy President, and I should maybe give him the opportunity to state the question here also in the way that he speaks to the Deputy President of the National Assembly, because I think it is something that concerns the portfolio committee sufficiently. You can't just change something, but what about what we have at the moment? I think for everyone, then let's speak about including the funds. For all of you that are saying, these are the finances that we require to eradicate, what does that mean? Does it mean that I think one of you said that you're going to make a loan from the people who are something that is coming to you? Krishan, what does that mean? Are you planting your municipality to debt now? Is there, how are you going to manage that thing? Were you forced into that situation where you had to go to the CBSA because there were no other financial resources forthcoming? I don't think all of you can just unpack this issue that all of you said you require more finances. Does that mean that in the recent case, it then means we now need to worry whether the target will be reached in total, whether the rest of your sanitation program in any of them will be worked in the same with you for housing also. What impact does it have on the rollout of the service in general? Honorable Arisa, I want to put that answer that question also.
Well, if you could say that, let me ask the Deputy President to give me the answer. The problem is to have precisely what we saw Kaukendu spoke about, as well as Limpopo. And the reason why I asked the Deputy President the question was because we've done research and we found that it's the same problem exists everywhere else in the country. And yet you have the systems that they showed in their presentation where the resident or the owner of the property has dug a pit themselves. I remember that system when I grew up on my grandma's farm. If you look at a house, driving past, you would say that it's a formal area, but it's a big house, a farmhouse. And but in the yard, big yard, that you don't see is a handmade latrine, right? I remember my dad calling it, and let's make what the name from this person, the long drop. As a matter of fact, I saw my uncle putting on the toilet a little wooden board with the name of the toilet, painted in white, the long drop. So the question to the Deputy President was that where we now have counted buckets, right, in the various provinces, have we also counted these? Because they, for all intents and purposes, are buckets. Because in some areas, there is actual buckets that the, as Kaukendu said, that the people put in themselves, and that they empty somewhere on their property when it's full. They do it all themselves. So as far as I'm concerned, that's the same problem that has to be dealt with. And I thought that there ought to be a plan to deal with those problems. And that would count the bucket. That has to be part of the overall total that we give at the end of the day. Because it is the same problem. So the President's answer was kind of like how James said. We will deal with these ones now, and with those ones like that in a second phase. I just feel that the expectation has been set for even those people. They know they've got buckets because they know this is the day themselves. That these buckets too would be eradicated. And I was hoping to see some of the provinces, if not all, coming forth with an idea, how do we deal with that? At the same time, what I wanted to know at the time is that people said, were our plans flexible enough? So if we didn't count them now and incorporate them and deal with them at the same time. So I don't see something here but we can wish away. They did. I mean, how they have counted them. The Pope in their presentation has shown them those ones. And the other problems have said too. And when you don't have them as part of your study, you probably didn't find them yet, but they did.
Thank you very much, Honorable. So what you didn't say is that you were almost ruled out of order in the House for talking about long drops in the National Assembly. Nevertheless, it will help us to clarify the issue that I think Housing said in particular. They say that you gave them this definition. Now, what we don't understand is, if we eradicate buckets in X area, why don't we eradicate in the entire area? Why would you then stop within the framework that you said what saves you? I mean, even if the financial and human resources waste, the concentration on this instead of cleaning up a particular area. So I think it will help if you can clarify to us also, because I would want to imagine that the framework that the department issues, I mean, even if it must be a flexible one that speaks to the realities of what provinces and what municipalities should achieve to overcome poverty in the areas where they are, and not have a piecemeal kind of approach to it. But of course, there needs to be stipulations and stuff like that, but the thought that, of course, you know, what is important to be done, and that is, you know, we must fulfill dignity, we must alleviate, we must roll out services, and so on. So I think it will help to clarify all of that to us. It does look like those are the questions that we have at the moment. So if we could ask, what last
thank you, Honorable Chair. First, in relation to the loan, Honorable Chair, I think at the time Council was looking at the target of bucket eradication. And as you know, Madam Chair, that the source of income where the municipalities they depend on grants, and as the citizen parties, we also had the levies which were abolished. Now, Council decided that to augment the funding that we get from grant funding, we also need to make a loan. That loan we have to service, Madam Chair. We budget for it. It's a 10-year loan. So we pay the FCPSA every year from our equitable share. In terms of the meeting the target, Madam Chair, I think what we are trying to indicate in the presentation is that our continuous engagement with DLG and DWARF, we indicated that these areas that are left will require about 73 million. And in the deal, that 73 million was set aside for bucket eradication. And we thought that because in terms of spending, we have prepared ourselves, you know, to be ready to go to tender. So, as I was saying, that we recently heard from DPRC that no, the 73 million is part of your overall allocation, which was not the case in the deal. So that is where now we are doubting that if that is the case, then it will mean that we won't be able to meet our target. And I think the other concern, Madam Chair, is that we thought at this stage that funding will be finalized and will be at tender stage already. So there's also time problems that we're having do not eat this, do not analyze food. Just to comment on what you are saying, Madam Chair, in relation to, you know, in our area, there's a township that had buckets and septic tanks. And, you know, when we discuss those things with the department, they say, no, we are focusing on buckets. And our politicians are saying, how can you put water boards for those that have buckets and leave these septic tanks here? It doesn't make sense. You have to eradicate even the septic tanks within the same township. So these are some of the challenges we're experiencing also, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. From Limpopo, what I would like to indicate that is that in terms of the bucket system, as there's one question on that, we haven't actually indicated or really put the figures there because we do not have any bucket systems in the province. However, what we have is the septic tank that is in the areas of the Greater Litava and also in the areas of Marble Hall. So those are the ones that we are actually eradicating, but they are not particularly classified as debacle systems. On the issue of appropriate technology in terms of addressing rural sanitation, as a province, we have actually we are undertaking a study on or research in terms of the SULAP model. They call it the SULAP Black Compost Toilet. So this is one of the rural sanitation innovative technology that we want to explore as a province. But based on that, if you link it to the financial resources that are required, as indicated, 3.3 billion, we realize that for us to be able to address the challenges, it may be also necessary to look into the issues of EPWP principles in terms of addressing rural sanitation, not necessarily thinking that it might need a lot of money. So we're going to link up with the SULAP model that is in India. We have started some process of engaging through the embassy so that we can be able to have some technical experts coming over to the province from India to assist in this regard. So that will also address the issue of massive job creation in terms of EPWP principles and then be able to reduce the financial resources that are required. The figure that we have indicated there, it shows the money that is required with the current way of doing things. But if we change our ways of implementing of addressing rural sanitation in terms of EPWP as well as other innovative mechanisms, then we may not be able to require 3.3 billion. But if we continue the way we are addressing rural sanitation, particularly that amount should be then applicable. Thank you, sir.
First question in terms of do the housing appointments suffer? All the consultants have been appointed by the municipality. The third most of the projects that are either in the water board, about 80%, and the rest is the VIC. Now, the issue with the VIC that we've seen currently is that in terms of meetings for the second question, would a person who's not earning money be able to fund the repair of the VIC? That would be the responsibility of the municipality. Because if they come up and want to install a VIC, then they need to have the capability of actually making that tank. In most cases, it shouldn't, if the systems are properly used, it should last you at least about a minimum of 3 years. That's the calculation we've done in line with the tank. But the misuse of these is a crucial problem. And this is where the participation of the community and having meeting with the community, informing them how the system works, how it is constructed, when will it fail. And that is the reason that we keep going back to our project now, which has been completed 2 years at the same time. What is exactly happening now? Is it functional? How do we get rid of it? Some of the municipalities can currently handle that situation because they have the equipment and the machinery available. So there's not a great time to see it. But what we have not seen
if in the IDP funding for this to be done under the NFO, it's very, very critical. We will look at our independent system. What is the IDP? But we've not seen this in the IDP. The IDP is in fact not done of the old responsible training facility. In terms of the budget that was required, for the water, we're looking at close to $2 billion, and in regard to sanitation, we're looking at about $5 billion. However, that can easily be resolved by the housing department itself. Because most of our problems are created by the backlog. Housing has a backlog of 500,000 houses. If the housing structure is going black, and each one has become waterborne, which is suggesting that it will all become waterborne, we don't have a previous problem of backlog moving between rapidly. But currently the stats are aging, because where, if you're just looking at the water, 262,000 houses don't have water, and the backlog is 500,000 for housing. So if you give all those 262,000 people houses, you won't have a water problem. The same with the sanitation, 437,000 houses. And if you amalgamate them back into housing, you wouldn't have a problem. So our target now is to get housing reform. The guys, you know, to start performing. But in light of that, the 2007 target for the sanitation, I hope I'm not being misunderstood. Housing will be the target of eradicating the problem. Although I put up a graph that was in 1994, we know what the other problems were. We have debt, and we've taken that over to eradicate what is debt. What we also did is, before we even started debating the issue of numbers, we wrote letters to each municipality saying, guys, this is the information we have on market. Can you confirm if you have this, if you not have this? What is the statistics? What is the income statistics? So the case is that these are the buckets that the municipality supplies, these are the buckets we want to get them. And that's how we came up to what housing has as buckets. The issue in terms of informal settlements, having non-blocked or what we call the own of the CIP, in most cases those need to be addressed by housing departments. So those are some of the people also sitting and waiting for housing and saying, we have applied long time ago, what are you guys doing about it? But again, you need to assist the municipalities. You notice that most of the housing cases, they aren't the equal colors that are put in place, the function. Like in certain areas like Bakerstown, where it was a huge community problem, the VIPs were put in place, but they are there on a temporary basis. When we do the VIP that is on a temporary basis, we will make sure those are solid pre-cut structures. They're not the ones that are shown to be where they are in block format. So the solid pre-cut structures, you can reload them on a truck, 6 months down the track, and use those pre-cut concrete structures again. The only thing you may have to do again is build them on. So you have to be careful when you actually implement this project. So we're taking the route of saying, in certain areas, you can go the food VIP where we know the land is formalized, and we can convert those into waterborne. But where there is an informal settlement that we need to come to the relocation, then we go for the concrete structures and make it easy to get the ground off of the rock and those structures that we can decide to plant. So those are the ones on that. In terms of program eradication, housing is only got 2 months left, but we just have one project, which is about 278 toilets to be eradicated in the bucket, and that is in the Mercedes municipality. All the other municipalities have given up to 2 months ago. They are finished. But at the same time, I must inform the House that there is a problem. Bucket sale on its own is a big business in Poland. When you give people a new toilet structure or waterborne sanitation, they do not want to release their bucket. They will tell you it's not taking the bucket because it needs for other purposes. They then sell that bucket to any guys who are coming in. But that increases the capacity. So if you go to a plot, like I said earlier on, the common term we use that people are in farming, when you have one guy, one owner, the owner of the plot, he's got a problem, you go give him a waterborne sanitation. But in his backyard, he started the farm. All the industry, all the shares and cases. So if you've got enough people who come and join in and live on these premises where he charges them rent. And now we're asking, is that our problem, the provincial government, is it a housing problem, or is it now an industrial problem which we need to look at? So there are projects also which I think you heard of the 2015 for Caltech, the 20 priority parking system that they've
The approach is running in 2 ways now, with a very patient check in the backyard of existing property owners. And they are developing this other kind of project now, where we're telling the owner, we want to get rid of the shack, we will put you up, not 1,000, and rent up, and we'll connect to the sanitation system. We'll pay for the sanitation, and we'll pay for the electricity. So there are things like that which is difficult for us now to address this problem, but the ones that are in the hospital will definitely get rid of. I agree, Ron Council, that there are issues that if they are old system and take old reactions, it needs to be eradicated. Can you get rid of all the buckets? Yes, how they can do that. The issue in terms of water, we have looked at different technologies, which I don't think the other problems we have looked at as yet. How they have decided it is easier to take water to any community than to pull the sanitation back. That is why we're talking about decentralized sanitation systems. The latest one we have seen, which is the chemical policy also, is a Chinese food tank system. And this bridge is out of reach. You can connect 250 houses to this one tank. And what that tank does is that it purifies the whole system. You're dropping about 20,000 liters of water. And you connect that tank up to each house with a separate line. That tank, when you flush your house, the sewer comes back into the tank, where it is then purified and send back to your house, but only to your tank for flushing. Doesn't put it into a situation for drinking the water. And that is a system which costs an average of around, the worth of 200 rand a month in a day, just to pay. And you can have each house that costs between 1 rand for the system, which works for 6 months, on its own, with very little income. The only thing you have to do on that system is change the water every 6 months. The municipality can do very easily themselves. Or in the case of the cannot do the water in order to link up to the area, so you can just pump the water in. So that's one of the technologies we have seen, and that is why we've been encountering. It is possible to see that it's possible, but you do not need to take the sewer back to the plant. You put it within the area, and the tanks are sealed, and they are closed, there are no smells, there's very little electricity required for the system. It's not even the back of the chemical pump, but there's very little electricity. It's totally enclosed, sealed up tank system. If you want to have a look, I think I've got the presentation. I can show it to anybody who's interested. So that is why we believe the water target we can use anything in the presentation target.
I think we can achieve our answer to everybody's question. The ownership of a grid. I think I've covered everything.
Yes, Stephen, I just want to make it clear that I'm important. The question about long blockage, I'm not referring to informal settlements. Because informal settlements will, for the time being, they will remain moving target for today. I'm referring to formal areas where people own property, their house, and just that over the years they've been digging their own foot or using their own bucket. So when you look at the area, by looking at it, you can see there are roads, there are brick houses, it's a formal area, but they don't have a formal penetration system. They have an informal, that's not informal, but they have an informal penetration system. So my argument is that is quite a different problem if you don't.
And so yes, those have been resolved in culture. What we have is we have an indigenous system of all those who actually hold land, and if they make it on that indigenous system and cannot afford that system, then we will go out there and provide the water and sanitation. Today, the water progress, I think we are 97% on that indigenous system. The indigenous system has got down to 1.2 or 8 households. Who have water, so 97% of those people who have water. Then those ones that are away, long distance away from the road, will have problems. In terms of the sanitation part, we also have around 86% lack of electricity. And the same goes for electricity. To those households, on the indigenous region, there is at least about 81% of the electricity that we have. But I do have those facts on the left.
I see from where the councils are formalized, the people could have their own constituents. They have only status, probably known, and those are the name of the religion. Those are not the name of the religion, those are the name of the living on their land in religion. So the who can be supported by the support of the making.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members of the portfolio, it's good to be back in Cape Town. Thank you for the opportunity to come into the presentation on behalf of all provincial problems of the moment. With me, I have Mr. Rudy Schneider, the Chief Director of WAF in the province, which is an indication of the very good working relationship that we have with the Department of Water Affairs and Policy in the province. If we look at the first slide, it's an indication of the province. Everybody knows the largest province or the smallest population, but there's an indication of the five districts that we have. The smallest one in terms of size, the furthest part. Then you can see to the west, Namakwa, the southeast, Sikasene, and the more central north, Siyanda, and the Kahalahadi in the northeastern part of the province. We also look on the left that there is those red lines, the northeastern corner of the of the left. That shows the cross boundary areas in the Kahalahadi district, including the Koshoveng municipality to which we will refer later on, as well as parts of the Pokwane municipality, the southern part of that was included to the northern Cape province. And those areas, especially in the Kahalahadi areas, which is relatively underdeveloped, and there's huge deadlocks in terms of water services, sanitation, and water supply. We also need to note that the Northern Cape is a water scarce province, and it does impact on the provision of water services. A document was compiled on the deadlocks on water services, all for household purposes, as well as the clinics and the schools. And it was signed by the Premier and the Ministry of Housing and Local Government in December 2006. That document is accepted as the basis for all statistics on backlogs in the province. But the second slide basically is an indication of the targets which we all know about. While this presentation will mainly focus on the market education program, but this specific slide also gives an indication on what is the situation around water supply as well as sanitation in schools. And we are talking about 21 schools that doesn't have water on site, and the number of learners is also indicated on the slide. 17 of those 21 schools is the cross-boundary area of the Kahalahadi, especially in the Moshoveng municipality, but also part of the Hatsakhonyane municipality. Moshoveng is a rural municipality that basically consists of communal tribal land as well as a lot of what is called rural villages. With regard to sanitation, there's 279 schools that do not meet the norm, and an estimated a total of 1,767 calls are required. The slide also gives an indication of the funds needed to address these backlogs. Then the next slide, just shortly on trades and water and sanitation provision. The only area where we still have a backlog and will definitely eradicate this backlog in this year is in Siyanda, where they have two clinics that needs. Where we need water at two clinics and then also sanitation at the two clinics that doesn't meet the basic requirements. On the bottom, eradication, the figure that we are working from in terms of the backlog is 6,846 packets. When we are talking about, what we do replace those packets with, in most cases, is VIPs, which is part of our sanitation, what is called UBS, but also where it is possible, waterborne sanitation. Funds that we have received, $65.9 million. Those funds are sufficient to address the framework, but they are some challenges to educate all public in the province by the end of the year, but they are some challenges as we refer to them now. Although the funding should be sufficient, the challenges still exist to eradicate the backlog. The bulk services should first be in place. And I think the understanding is that the eradication of bucket is not only about, but one aspect of the whole thing of the service chain for the provision of sanitation services. And sometimes bulk services does impact on our ability to address or eradicate the backlog. The map also shows you, just before I go further, the map also shows the backlogs per district. Well, you see that the largest backlog is in the peaks we can see in the district. That's where the area where we have our district backlog as we are, as far as we are, then Francis Bar, 1-2-1-2-1, that's the Kimberley area. And 1,506 in Gianda, up in England. And then 448 in Namakwa, which is the central administrative point. In the Kalahari, there's no backlogs, there's no buckets to be replaced in the Kalahari district. We'll come back to that one later on. In terms of the challenges, the bulk services should first be in place. Then also the issue of tender procedures are fine for receiving. Some of these things are also linked to the capacity of municipalities. Delivery rate must increase significantly. Then, if we look at can we eradicate the bucket in the province by the end of December, we are saying yes in the case of 22 municipalities. We'll do it by December 2007. That's out of 32 municipalities in the province. We are saying no in two cases. Those are the two red ones then. That we will talk about more on the next slide. There are four municipalities where those that are indicated in yellow, where we have some problems with, but we don't believe that those problems can be resolved. In the historical areas with no buckets are the Kalahari district, the district itself is CMA, as well as the three local municipalities. As well as Mokoshawe. This table also gives an indication of the allocation and how we have break it up to address the backlog on each of those municipalities where we still have backlogs. The next slide, and maybe we can later on say a little bit more about the specific slide here, but the municipalities reporting that they can't reach the target by December 2007, we start here there with the northern towns like the northern Fosberg and the next flame, and then Tenderlichley towns like Altdown and Springburg. In the case of Tenderlichley, the area where the backlog still exists, the former settlements is in Springburg, where the community wants a higher level of service. They don't want the tri-sanitation as a replacement for the market system. And they are willing to wait until they are prepared to wait for waterborne sanitation while the infrastructure that needs to be developed to actually to supply the waterborne sanitation is met. In the Caribbean area, especially in the town of Carnarvon, supply that is going on for years. They don't want rice sanitation. They want waterborne sanitation. It's more or less the same type of thing that the whole issue of shortfall of funding in terms, especially the bulk infrastructure that needs to be upgraded so that we can meet the different level of services to give waterborne sanitation to all members of the community. The next slide is the formal apologies where we have indicated that we have problems, but we believe that those problems can be addressed. In North Berg, it's on the banks of the Orange River, with towns like Petersburg, Paterploeg and Philipsstad. The challenge there is still the water supply, because people also prefer water bond. But the process, the contract for water, is expected to be completed by December 2007. At the top structure will be completed and connection will take place as soon as the water supply is completed. So this one we can meet, but maybe we'll go a little bit over the start of December 2007. Coming there, in Namakwa, a very dry area where we are dependent on groundwater. Some of those towns are even struggling with groundwater. With the drinking water for household purposes. Community wants a higher level of services. They don't want the rationalization, but the water supply is inadequate. The route that we are going to follow here is to negotiate with the community that at least as a step of getting a higher level of services, that they should, for the interim, accept the option of rationalization in the specific area. While we are looking at the issue of bulk water supply for the Kamoeysburg area. And the Karoo of land is where Sutherland is, where this what is called salt. The large telescope is on Sutherland, Williston, and also Fraserburg, those towns. The community also wants a high level, but again the challenge is that the bulk infrastructure can't support the high level of services. So a feasibility report is done on infrastructure requirements. The interim solution is maybe to negotiate another option, conservancy state or something like that with the community. CDS Roma is Douglas, towns like Douglas, Kirkwastad, Campbell, Smithbrook, and so on, nearer to the Kimberley. There's slow construction and quality problems. 8 million rent is needed to resolve the problems. It's about infrastructure. The acceleration of the construction program by new implementation team, we believe that if the assessment is collected to that, we will resolve the problem then. The next slide is an indication of the water supply backlogs in the province. Households with less than the RDP standard of within 200 meters for water supply, 12,799. And the black gives an indication of the provincial spread. And we'll note that 60% is in the Kalahari, especially the first boundary area like Moshoveli. The figures are for Namakwa, Shiganda, Transit Park, which is also indicated. The towns needed 159 million to provide for water at the RDP standard, and the cost per household short for 19.1 million. There's 6 water service authorities where the problem way makes us, and then Oshawang requires 66% of that. Within Target Village, in 26 of the municipalities, not in 6, with the current funding that is available to us. The new regional bulk water grant via the 12 is not included. And the limitations in terms of the targets and the backlogs 2010, this includes areas with no sanitation in Stroom, Moshawang, and also on our farms, that there's areas with no sanitation. An area where we have put the things. And then buckets on uniformal stands. The backlog is mentioned there, 38.8 thousand. The need, 381.9. The norm, dry sanitation at that cost, and then water bond at that cost. So the distribution in terms of the different situation in terms of the backlog there. The first 30%. No sanitation 21, and then bucket on informal sales is 20%. The figures is also mentioned there. The norm, I've already mentioned the norm name. shortfall said 290.2 million census water service authority areas. Well, we started to reach 19 of them, yes, but we certainly not. Then another concern in the Northern Cape is the backlog on farms. So there's a breakdown per different municipality. You see that the largest backlog is in the frontest part in the Sijanga district. Sijanga, where you find this very intensive irrigation farming along the Orange River. And then the cost to provide, and then the sanitation backlogs on the farm. The farms, the largest backlogs is also in Sijanga as well as the Pixie district, and the cost involved in that. Currently, sanitation and water supply on the farm is very low priority at municipal level. There's no dedicated funds for that. It's just for water and sanitation supply, water service supply on farms. The targets will not be met in the farms in the Northern Cape. The current situation and the current processes that is in place to address the water service backlogs on farms. The key impediment every delivery. The next slide here. The revision of the mid-2007-08 public education locations according to Northern Cape report that I earlier referred to. The business plan population is time to receive and quality information. That's insufficient long-term planning and municipal level. Support of these policies is not always coordinated. That's something that we need to address within this new and some support program by the particular agenda. Unsustainable development, waterborne sanitation is implemented in areas where water infrastructure is inadequate and equipment was too small. Tender procedures that I have referred to, housing projects are implemented at a slow pace. The current funding in Northern Cape can work between 2,000 and 2,500 houses per annum, especially with regard to the upgrading of informal settlements. The pace of delivery is slow in housing. And you know the cost, if it may fall for the ground, I'm going to put this as my position. I'm also responsible for housing. Then the small funding allocation to municipalities. A municipality like near the hub in Siganda, it gets something maybe like 600,000 for weak funding for 1 year. It's not enough to do a project in a municipality like that. So the fund allocated to the municipality is too small. Water shortages, I've already mentioned that the quality of construction, lack of technical staff at municipal level, updating to verify of backlogs on formal and informal sales, project management and big funding and retains within municipalities for water and sanitation services and not the third district. The problem here is that sometimes the retains funding for eradication of backlogs for water and sanitation services. It's in the province, there's enough money in the province. But sometimes the money is at the municipality where there's not. The money is allocated to the municipality where you don't have that kind of backlog. But you can't reallocate that money because of the requirements of dollar and so on. How will the delivery be accelerated? Multi-year business plan combined with increased dollar funding, channeling funding to the district municipality instead of paying the money directly to the local municipalities. Assistance of business claims, privatizing water sanitation projects, the housing projects that I have referred to, monitoring technical progress, capacity building and training, shared services, and own business at district municipalities. As problems, we have started the project with the assistance of other partners, like the Development Bank and so on, and own project in the province now. And part of this project, we have launched earlier this week the ONM handbook for sanitation, which is the first in the country as far as we know. It was me to say but we believe that, and we are in the process of establishing operation and maintenance units at all the first municipalities, which actually are, and we are also looking at this shared service model, especially the house, some of our very smaller and undercapacitated municipalities. The interim sanitation provision promoting of sustainable development. Just on Moshel Wayne, and we won't go into detail on that one, but Moshel Wayne, both in terms of water and sanitation, is part of the integrated sustainable rural development notes, the presentation notes, it's the one that all take. So from the Congo Coast boundary area, and we have inherited this province from the 1st of April. 8,000 households still below the RDC level with regard to water supply, even indication of the cost involved in that one. The same on the next slide, on sanitation. 14,000 households need basic sanitation. That's the lake, buckets, and so on. So the area where you saw it, you'll find no buckets, you'll find pits, or you'll find no sanitation at all in the rural areas. I know that the NGOP was there last year, and there's indication. There's some scenarios on how to address the washing problem. Same person, I don't know whether Mr. Simon wants to maybe want to get or one or two of those science events or are you comfortable? But thank you very much. That's our presentation from the room.
Thank you very much. Let's stay in the chat and let's listen to it.
Thank you. So thank you, Chairperson. First, if I could possibly extend my anxious suggested apologies. There is an emergency movement in Petersburg Bay, and we've had to fly out there at the end of the press as well. I have with me the head of his office, Mr. Zedby Solisa, and Mr. Henry Dupuisi, who will be doing the presentation. I'm managing on the chief director within the department. Please indulge us. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members, delegates. Just our comments on the water sector plan of draft. My presentation here on behalf of Minister Junshi, who unfortunately can't be here, will deal with the water sector plan, and we will then finish off with the targets and with a basic sanitation study that we did here in the Western Cape with funds provided by GRAP. An overview of the presentation, start off with an introduction, then we'll move to the five strategic objectives of GRAP here in the Western Cape, and we'll end off with the conclusion. First of all, we'd like to mention that our Department of Local Government and Housing in the Western Cape Province as a whole supports the purpose of a water sector plan with all its sectors. We feel it's necessary and we are fortunate to participate in that plan. We also feel it's very important to set targets and to achieve them throughout the country, especially here in the Western Cape. And in that light, we feel it is absolutely important that this water sector plan ties in with our provincial growth and development strategy, where we want to direct development, also the establishment of low-cost housing, through which we will eradicate most of the backlogs in the province. The third strategic objective is basic and sustainable service delivery to all. Our view on that is that it's very important that all spheres of government integrate their plans and resources to achieve the targets. That is the resources especially of municipalities, the funds available through province and the national fund, the municipal infrastructure grant. To work together to eradicate these backlogs. We and GRAP have embarked on a joint study last year, which I'll come back to. Unfortunately, I don't have slides on that. It is available, but I'll give you some of the results of one of the most extensive studies done in the country on backlogs and how to eradicate it. The study that he did came up with a figure of 410,000 households that still without basic sanitation in the province. I'll come back to these figures and elaborate a bit more on that. Strategic objective number two is water sector reform. We as a province feel that water is a scarce resource. Through studies that's done recently, it's indicated that global warming will have a worse effect in the country here in the Western Cape, and rainfall will actually diminish all over the western part of the Western Cape, while the central part of the country will remain the same, and the eastern part will even get more rain. So for that reason, we feel that the water sources in the Western Cape especially will have to be very, very carefully managed, and even some farming practices change. In the same regard, water allocations must address development and environmental priorities. We're lucky in the Western Cape that we receive our fair share of tourism, and they certainly don't come here to look at our cities, but they come for our beautiful environment, and we will have to look at that. It is crucial that we put a large emphasis on water demand management, and we will have to embark on approaches to stop water losses in all sectors, and we are currently through the participation with our regional office of GRAP, busy with a study where we will very soon in future present our NEC with a regular report on water losses at municipal level throughout the province. We will have to consider the use and reuse of wastewater and encourage desalination. We've got a desalination working group going now. The Western Cape is close to the sea in most parts, and it's becoming cheaper, and it's definitely a viable option. And we will hopefully see the first plants, large plants, coming up soon here near Cape Town, with existing plants along the west coast. We have huge capacity problems with bulk services. Our housing programs have outstripped the supply of water and the treatment of wastewater, and we would like to encourage us to look into some serious extra funding to cater for these huge problems. There are now towns where housing seriously will have to be looked at any further expansion because there's simply no capacity at the bulk works. Strategic objective number three, water for sustainable growth and development. We work in partnership with municipalities, and we need to improve abstraction and discharge rates. We, in our preliminary study, have found that there are municipalities where the water consumption is simply too high, that's per household, and we will, once we've done a study and we monitor them closely through a software program, will be able to point them out, which are the highest users per household, and then take action. We also fully support the SMME development through our studies and through the work that we do in projects. We feel that there needs to be more focus on operation and maintenance of water works and water networks. It's through the lack of these maintenance that we sometimes have unaccounted for water running into between 30% and 40%. In some of our municipalities, and that definitely needs to be reduced. We also feel that a dedicated asset management program needs to be put in place. We're glad to hear that WEF is embarking on a a nationwide asset management program and software developed for this specific case, as well as training programs offered by the Institute of Municipal Engineers. We're fortunate to have had three of these courses presented in the Western Cape already, with our municipalities attending. Objective number four, integrated support to local government and skills development. We as a province feel that there is an excellent cooperation between GRAP and the regional office, and the regional director of GRAP and us in the field of capacity building. Last year we embarked on this massive basic sanitation study, which cost us 3 million, all of that funded by GRAP. This year, the capacity building program amounts to 8.5 million, of which 2 million comes from province and 6.5 from GRAP. And that will entail a water and sanitation master plan. You can now go on the internet in any town in the Western Cape, and you will see not only the existing sewage system, the whole network, including the bulk work, but you will also see color-coded the extension of new pipelines that will be needed in future to cater for housing, pump stations, reservoirs, and extension to works, with the table and the costing of these future programs. I'll supply you with a website address at the end of the presentation. In fact, it is simply going to the address. It's called cesfiles.co.za, and then your password that you will need to go in is called backlog.11. Password that create, you will see that you can't change any of the figures, but you can look around, and once you've entered that, you can just go to Western Cape Backlog Study and download the maps, the tables with information, the costs of each and every town in the Western Cape. During this year's capacity building program, we will do the water demand management software and study, where we couple up to the treasury information of every municipality on a monthly basis, where we will then present all sorts of data that you may need, like a non-payment of an industrial urban, urban that has paid the same amount for the last 3 months, which is impossible. Nobody's account can stay the same. Or any other information queries that can you can run for every municipality on a monthly basis. We're also training the municipal water and sanitation staff, on-site training for the people that operate the work, a higher level training for managers, and a top level training for engineers, courses that will be presented. And then we will do a course on asset management planning and training. We singled out one municipality where we will go right through with the asset management program. That's the town of the municipality of Drakenstein, which will draw up an actual asset management plan for the whole municipality in the near future. Strategic objective number five, establish water management institutions and regulate water use. We feel that good progress is being made with the establishment two of the four water management institutions in the Western Cape. We encourage that process. We feel that the people on the ground must regulate and protect and operate their own water sources, and we fully support GRAP with that initiative that's been done in the Breda River and Berg River at the moment. With water being a scarce resource, it's very important that GRAP enforce the lawful use of water, and it's important that GRAP has the capacity to assist municipalities that are not complying with the water and wastewater quality standards. And we think that the program that Zap has put in place whereby water quality is monitored is something that we fully support, and we will in future also assist where there are problems with municipalities that don't provide the right quality of water. In conclusion, we feel that Zap and our department have built on the excellent working relationship that has developed between the two of us in order to ensure the success of the Western Cape Watershed Protection. Madam Chair, then just to end off, maybe a bit of detail about the basic sanitation study that was done last year. In the past, a lot of studies were done in the Western Cape, and the results of those studies always came up with a number of households that need basic sanitation. But we don't pay a number of households, and that figure does not mean much, because some of those households can easily be coupled up to a nearby system, whilst others need kilometers of supply lines, enlargements of water supply works, as well as enlargements to treatment works. And we felt that it was necessary that once and for all, we do a total study that will first give you the necessary bulk and link infrastructure that must be put in place to provide these people with the service. We started off by saying that the people of the Western Cape have never opted for anything else than sub-sanitation. And we follow our housing colleagues who provide the on-site houses and services. And so far, none has been provided with anything else than flood sanitation. So the study basically for the towns and the metro concentrated on flood sanitation. And what we did is we sent a team out consisting of consultants and officials to every municipality to talk to their town engineer, planner, head of housing, LED people, and put out down a map of each town in that municipality to say where are the people situated at the moment, how many are there, where do you want to put them in terms of your spatial development framework, and then link that and did the calculations and the costing for each of the towns. And if you go into this website, you will can easily draw down the map and the table with details for every town. Basically, what we found is that the total backlog as of December last year in the province runs to 410,000 households that without basic sanitation. That's something different to bucket eradication, it's basic sanitation. And the interesting thing that came out there is that most of these people were actually backyard dwellers and not in informal areas. Yes, there are informal areas, but there are many, many people in backyards which need houses with the necessary services. Of the 410,000, 300,000 is in the metro and 110,000 in the rural towns. We also did a study on farms, but the figures that came out there were negligent in comparison with the total figures. We've done a VIP program in the Central Karoo and Plain Karoo, and that is now finished, and most of the farms there are now supplied with a VIP. Other figures that came out is that the extension of water and sewage works, as well as the Balkan connector pipelines to provide these people, will come up to a total cost of 10.4 billion. That is a very big amount. But one must take into account that if you put in Balkan link services, you also cater for industries that you may provide along the way. If you extend your water work, you don't extend it for today's need, but you actually allow for a growth of about 20 years. And we also did a growth study for each of the towns, which varies from 1% to 7.5% in the highest state, with an average of less than 2%. Madam Chair, that's roughly the details of the study. I invite you to go into that website and play around with it. There's a huge amount of information in there. As far as the bucket eradication, just if I may on that, the total number of buckets in formal areas in the Western Cape, the figure is between 1,500 and 2,000. The city of Cape Town has indicated that in their case it's less than 10, so very few buckets in formal areas here in Cape Town. Our biggest problems at the moment lie in the municipalities of Tunnelland and Tierwater Sloop. We've just received funds for that in the Lake of Laura. Two years ago we received 7 million for bucket eradication, last year 14, and this year 30 million. We hope to reach the target just in time by December this year, with the problem municipalities, Tunnelland and Tierwater Sloop just about going out to tender now with the project, and we hope that the contract will be completed just before closing down this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the Golden State and to the Christian State. And the commander to the Christian from the Atomic the world we waiting for that question, we are just kind of about the rest of the area that is so after this, after the question.
Thank you for that. Yeah, because I'm not going to address my questions to a specific problem because they are rather general, and I wondered if you could maybe send them what you allow can get through from the other areas as well, apart from those different things. My first question to the chairperson is, with all the problems in relation to funding for bulk services, infrastructure, increased housing operations and maintenance, is the mix enough? Is the division of revenue enough? Or are the types of the view that there could be a discussion between DPLG, the National Treasury, and DWAR on reviewing the mix and the division of revenue? Secondly, chairperson, and I think this I'll be discussing sanitation, I think this question this issue has to do with sanitation and type of technology we use at the end of the day. I wondered whether how successful in various provinces has the implementation of free water been, and in instances where that is not so, where it has not been very successful, what have been the challenges to be successful? And thirdly, chairperson, to what extent do the provincial departments of local government incorporate or recognize resource constraints such as the reality of limited resources, the need to uphold the reserve, and the need of others? At the time they can assumption that water resources are limited, do they think do you link your work in the provision of water supply to darker from drop on the reserve? And just the last question from my side, chairperson. Are local governments addressing future challenges in cases where district municipalities settle water management areas? I remember you making the point yesterday that with water flow, they don't flow to boundaries, anybody's boundaries. The domestic demands may actually represent demands beyond the catchment boundaries. Are local government departments aware of water resource management areas and are they beginning to establish communication between neighboring catchment management areas? Thank you.
My question is directed to the Northern Cape.
particularly those that are considered to be having a serious problem, or whether these experience similarly across all the municipalities.
Water or sanitation, the rural areas are included. Because rural areas are vast, and you ask yourself, this means that what the president meant that the target should be this year, the end of this year, that it excludes the rural areas. I think in the northern case they have included rural areas. Now, the northern case is known to be a very vast province. One would worry and wonder how are they going to address the issue of water going without using a dry product in some other areas, as they are so far. But coming to the Western Cape, Western Cape is known to be the most and very high province with the formal settlement everywhere from Mushroom. And the funny that you have their presentation without one week has expected that there will be stars, there will be a map, there will be expected that it will show you the Western Cape itself and understand. Because we go to London, we find that an entrance on the main road is in so much of the yard, there's no more pavement. Now, you're asking yourself, are you saying that all of these people are covered? There's no problem in the Western Cape. And you've got to give us what you are using, because then we can use it in each and every province. Because Western Cape is taking 3 to 4 hours just telling us about the water problem. And I know it does not mean that because we have a sea here, we have enough water. I'm not happy. We need to understand and accept from the Western Cape to understand our problem. Because as this committee, we have to give back to the president to say, in Northern Cape, we are so far, and we think we need the target. Each and every problem. Now, we don't want surprises at the end of the year. Now, each and every person will give a will. It doesn't matter how ugly and if you think you're not going to use the target, we need to know, because we are the ones that are going to report. We have to know the truth. But I'm not happy about the rest of the system.
Let me find us Professor Kumpina. I want to know whether they have adequate capacity to undertake their water related responsibilities. Because it seems that this is a challenge of showing, of implementing the proposed air services to the people. And they show that the target will not be met by both all the provinces that are concerned and the municipalities. And they must remember that this is not about the target, it's about the people's expectations to the government. And hoping that this department will acknowledge that there is a problem of the inadequacy of property.
As the Honourable Alistair, we asked the question which she asked me to invite the other people in the House also to answer it. And I think the total also helping all of you that are still here, out here with the question, please feel free to answer. Because I think having listened to everyone yesterday and today, the one question that I really have is, in all of your plans to eradicate the backlog, but in this instance it's the bucket eradication. But well, of course, you know, there are more. We get the impression out of the presentation that we have given us, that we started the plan within December. It's an impression. It's an impression. You know, so you do so. Because most of you are raising this aspect of resources, both human and financial resources. But we just look at us an idea. When you tell us, if you can answer us, when did your planning start on all the topics? Because the president spoke in May in 2004, and he said that the target that government wants to achieve in the range of this, that, and the other is the following. And then he said 2005, and the interest of water, and sanitation 2005, 2008, 10, 2014, 2015, all of that. So I really draw an out. When did the planning actually start? Because if we need to meet the target in December, and we're still talking about we don't have sufficient capacity and finances, then I think we must have discussed to them say, when did you realize that? When did you realize you don't have these resources in time? Because if we have to think of what needs to be the engagement thereafter on ensuring that the target is used. The Northern States, the rate and interest rate, I think maybe we have to talk a little bit more about. You were saying that there's something that you put together from the revision of the MIG, which started with education allocation, according to the Northern States report, which is of the National Water Sector Backlog from the target. You talk us through that a little bit more than what you did. From page 30 in the top, we're going to flag 30 the top card. Are you suggesting, you have called for a renewal of the for NIG, and if so, are you pointing out that the grant, the way it is at the moment, by its very nature, are contributing towards not using the objective, not able to implement the purpose of the system. We're asking this because when you've been oversight in many provinces, then you have to tell us what the system we grant and what the system document and what the also the system of government. I think it will help because if there is something that is creating a difficulty, it is good that it's going to be sorted out so that that's out of the way. And other issues need to be attended to. So just to switch up to that, Northern States in this regard. As we said to the rest of the state, according to our statistics that they have, where your backlogs are in Rieda, Raman, it's in Matsukama, it's in Aizma, it's in Flex, Oatsuan, your highest city, you about the school, whether that's connected to the entire province. So if you think speak to that also, so what you plan, you say, you know, one of the workers was in the overgrown. And they're here because they always speak about the system that they want to be offered. And the difficulty that they encounter not to allow us to offer this system. And I think we should from where they are raised with you while you are there, because also we've got reports if you would like to have some mechanism to get them consistent in saying which are the assistants, but we don't have any instructions they are the assistants. I really want to use this opportunity or just use this opportunity to like after this, are you aware of the work that's happening in your province, in your city, particularly? That's a story, okay. But the point is not inside, that's what I'm saying. They can take it like that.
I'll start with the questions raised by the gentleman. The problems with bulks, is the net fund enough? Are there discussions between work and DPLG and Treasury? First of all, yes, we agree that the Western Cape has now exhausted the capacity of many of the bulk works, both in the water supply and in water treatment, sewage treatment. The net fund is definitely not enough. We can easily double and treble that and handle it. Then we can fact, and as I've mentioned, it's now starting to delay housing projects. We can't get something about service to couple up too. Yes, we fully support any discussions between DPLG and Treasury. I've mentioned the bulk services fund, which we heard that RAF now has. We haven't seen much of it. We feel it's moving in the right direction. We feel that RAF, as custodian of water in the country, the resources, should in fact have a fund that will fund the development of resources. Not only that, studies on resources, presenting those studies to municipalities to tell them how far they are with the current resources and where the next resource will be, how far it will be, and how extensive it will be to develop certain municipalities. They maybe concentrate development more to where it's more easy to get it. The next question was on free water and basic sanitation, where it's implemented. To my best knowledge, I think it's implemented in all municipalities in the Western Cape, not only free water and sanitation, but also in electricity. But I stand to be corrected. Limited resources, the third question on limited resources, do we link our project to data from draft? We are fully aware of the limited resources and the resources that will become even more limited due to climate change. Maybe we should improve on our links with the resource studies by draft. This links to my previous comment that we feel that regular studies should be done by experts, led by draft, and be presented on a regular basis to municipalities and to us, and maybe to our provincial spatial development planners in the doors of the PSDF. The fourth question was communication between CMA, catchment management agencies, where water goes from one boundary to another, and maybe that the custodian and the leader in that process are also that. I'm not interested in that. Fifth question, are rural areas included? I think that was more like for the Northern Cape, but yes, we do include our rural areas, our rural towns. At this stage, the need funds are decided by DPLG. Previously, on the Simba province, they had a say in how much goes to the municipality, but the formula now lies with DPLG. They've got the only and the final say in where funds go. We have no say in that. So if they don't take funds from the municipalities in the rural areas, I'm afraid that urbanization will just increase. The question on the Western Cape, why there was nothing in my presentation, the minister's presentation or data for informal settlement, The brief he had was to comment here on the five sector issues of drugs, and that's what he did. We certainly do have a lot of information on the informal settlement and the need, which I just briefly mentioned in our backlog study, which we did last year. And not only the data, but the infrastructure needed, the expansion in water and sewage work, and the detailed cost estimate for each of the towns, including the metro here in the Western Cape. We must mention that we, as engineers, felt that more emphasis must be placed on spatial development frameworks for all the municipalities, including the city. You can't decide where to do your development if you don't have a spatial development framework. Provinces at the moment busy with establishing these, but they are lacking in detail. But yes, I can go back. When did we start our planning? Adam shared that with your question. Yes, planning must continue on a continuous basis. That's exactly what we did last year with this year-long study and calculation and meetings, which took up most of last year. The previous year we did a bit of that. My personal view is I think the problem is so big, and the funds that we have deprived of douse the fire. But proper planning between sectors, as mentioned in the presentation, is necessary. And we feel that the planning is in many cases a top-down approach. We need guidance from national on what is available, what the strategic plan from national level. We need to elaborate more on the provincial level. The district IDPs need to tie in with the provincial TSDF, and then finally the municipal IDPs must tie in with that. And that's what we try to do. I mentioned a figure of 10.4 billion. That means planning between housing, industry, and municipalities and national to tackle this whole issue of eradicating backlog. As I say, in that process, we will also put down infrastructure where local economic development must tie in with industrial development, permanent work for people, not only in the Western Cape, where we have lack of job opportunities, the Western Cape.
If I may, just regarding the informal assessments, there have been advisements that we have in particular in our largest, well, our whole metro Western Cape, advisement of a master plan for informal settlement. This is not just looking at the services, but also prioritizing how we start to formalize the camps and create proper human settlement. The master plan is just for the metro. We will be sharing that information with us, and we will be bringing our assessment instruments such as emergency housing, the upgraded and formal assessment instruments to bear, start to resolve a lot of the informal assessment. Yes.
Thank you.
We are aware that there are
just on the water cuts, New Berg River Dam, which is a major expansion of the water supply to Cape Town for staff, friends from the Water Affairs Mate, will be during this winter, it will start damming up water. So I suppose we are in a crucial position at the moment, but that may leave us for a few years before we go into another resource development process.
Yes, because there are policies as the provincial, as the provincial department, surely there are interventions that we have to all the municipalities to uphold the constitutional provision. It's not somebody else's whatever. I think that's what we are doing. I'm sitting with them, looking at you, and I'm not firing an office like this on your behalf.
I think we should say this, you're 100% correct. It's not just water cuts, it's electricity cuts, it's cuts of services across the board. It is certainly something that my MSC is looking into, and it does have regularly to improve any of the city Cape Town. And in fact, there's a meeting coming up very next week. It's certainly something that will see that gets on the agenda for discussion. However, at this time, yes, it is a constitutional issue and right on the line, but at this time, it is being looked at and looked at critically. And hopefully, in the future, we will be able to find this to go on.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. With regard to the short free basic services, is implemented in all the counties in the province. But it's true that some households are still accessing these social services, mostly in informal settlements as well as also in some of the farming and rural areas, because people don't have access to those services. And it will only be addressed in the targets of regard to that law. Thus, on the issue of the recognition of water resource services with regard to the water supply services, in one of the districts where we have seen this problem, specifically the Kasselin district, and we have set up a task team at provincial level, who are working closely with water affairs in the province, we grew up a plan to look at our water supply, especially in towns in the Kasselin district. So it's a challenge. Some of the challenge areas in the Kalahari, in the younger district, the near municipal area, as well as some parts of Namakwa, Richtersveld, as well as the Kamitsuk area that I mentioned earlier. At the same time, we have also the process of, in terms of the governmental relations framework, a next provision for sectoral specific intergovernmental forum, and we have such a forum for water service. Although it's not functioning the way which we want it, but we have established a forum like that, especially if you look at this